Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fired Up with CJ, I have Ragini Michaels, who's an international recognized speaker in behavioral change. Welcome, Ragini.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I am really excited to have this show because I think it will help so many different people. I have a lot of clients, and myself, I also have these issues with guilt and shame, which is the topic of today's discussion. What is guilt and shame, and just understanding the nature of it? Because I think with addressing any problem, the first thing is understanding what it is and getting clarity around it. And so this is not about healthy guilt. Now, healthy guilt is an example where you feel remorse for your actions when you've actually broken a law. So, for example, you stole something from a store, you kill someone. These are things that you should feel bad about, right? You're breaking a law. We want you to feel guilty about those things. And the law will find you guilty with those things. Those are not the things that we're talking about. What we're looking at are the negative, unhelpful aspects of guilt and shame. And I saw one definition that I really liked, which said, we feel guilty for what we do, and we feel shame for who we are. So, Ragini, what do you think of that definition first off? How do you define guilt and shame?
Well, I think that's a pretty good definition. We usually do feel guilty when we do something we think we shouldn't have, and shame extends beyond our actions to the actual material we're made of. Mm-hmm. It's more of feeling bad about who we are because we're defective or incompetent or less than. So it's pretty damaging, actually, both guilt and shame, and they rarely travel separately.
Yeah.
They're almost always, the traveling duo. So when you meet one, the other one's probably hiding somewhere around the corner.
What do you mean by that? And it's interesting because when I was doing research on this topic, they would talk about shame, but not often guilt and shame, which I do view them as, and I don't know why I view it, but why do you view it as following each other?
Usually, in my work with people, and I've worked with a lot of people over the last 30 years, shame has to do with, let's say you just have shame. You say, I feel ashamed about something. Generally, what goes with that is a sense of, I should have done something differently. Mm-hmm. So I should have done implies action.
Right.
So if I feel ashamed because I'm fat, then I feel guilty because I should be able to do something about it and I don't.
And who's the people that tell you that you should? I mean, that's the interesting thing. That's why I always ask in coaching. Who told you you should?
And I'll bet you the answer is almost always my mother, my father, you know, my priest,
my
minister,
teacher, right?
My teacher, you know, usually somebody else's mother, you know, something like that, the brownie leader, the Cub Scout leader.
Right. All loving, intentional people who are trying to help you, right?
Ultimately, guilt and shame are both imposed from the outside. Now, we incorporate them, we internalize them, so that we don't really need anybody to make us feel guilty or ashamed, although that rarely stops.
Right.
We have a big supply of people out there who are perfectly happy.
Healthy dose of guilt and shame implied by others.
But
we
also have it well wired on the inside in our own brain. So we like take it over and eventually run it for ourselves. Even if we're very isolated, we can still feel a lot of guilt and shame.
Right. What you'd said earlier that it feels, it's very damaging. What is the damage of guilt and shame, do you think?
It damages ultimately your sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
Your sense of self-esteem, your sense of capability, your sense of being able to participate in a world that's acceptable.
Right.
So if you can't be accepted, then you ultimately will draw the conclusion unconsciously that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And when you get a lot of guilt and shame, it usually results in feeling like you're really defective.
Yeah.
There's something literally wrong with the intrinsic fabric that you're made of.
Right. It's and who you are is not good, right?
That's right.
Who I am is not good, acceptable to society.
Instead of being made of silk, you're made of crappy burlap.
Aww. Actually, I like burlap.
Well, yeah, just an example there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny because actually, right before the show, I got an email from someone and she was handicapped. And, she was so ashamed of being handicapped that mm-hmm. she literally didn't even leave the house because it was that, I mean, that's an extreme example of someone who felt so much shame mm-hmm. that they couldn't even go out and face the world. I mean, that seems to be the extreme example.
It's not actually as extreme as you think. People go out in the world, but they aren't who they really are.
Oh.
You go out in the world and you participate in the way you think you should, but of course you believe that you aren't really capable of doing it. You're ashamed of not doing it well. So when you see the wallflower on the side of the room, mm. or you see the person in the group who's quiet and never says anything, there can be a lot of guilt and shame going on, even though they're out participating in the world.
You know, I have got to tell you, I'm kind of the opposite of this scenario in some ways because mm-hmm. I remember going to work out at the health club and unfortunately my gym bag, I forgot a shoe, one of my two sneakers. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, they're going to try to guilt me into wearing this other sneaker. So I'm just going to hobble around like I own this gym. And no one will stop me. So I have one.
So there you have a good example of a creative way to deal with guilt and shame.
My hairdresser is astonished because I actually dye my hair. Mm-hmm. This beautiful hair is not black. It's actually salt and pepper black. Mm-hmm. And there'll be times when I actually have to rush home to do something. So I go there with my fully dyed hair in a big cape from the hairdresser and I run around town wearing this outfit. No one will guilt and shame me about how I look and who I am. I kind of don't care. But tell us a little bit about, you know, there seem to be a lot of people, and actually the people that I think suffer the most are people who have go to church, which I don't go to church a lot. I'm a spiritual person, but I don't. But there's a lot of, like, I'm going to go to hell. I mean, what's that all about? I'm not a religious person, so I don't. No one can really tell me I'm going to go to hell, and I believe it. They tell that to me when I'm driving on the road. But secretly, well, I don't hear them, but I know they do.
Well, a lot of people who aren't raised within a religious household oftentimes don't have as – they're not as easy to buy – they don't as easily buy into guilt as someone who's raised in a very religious family. Mm-hmm. In some – and I'm not saying religion makes you guilty part and parcel across the board.
Right.
But I am saying that generally speaking – your parents, your family, the church, and the law are the primary culprits of instilling guilt and shame into us as children.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is because of the need to socialize individuals into being able to create a society of some kind.
Right.
So one of the ways in which that's done, you have to create a conscience.
Right.
Which is doable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it goes overboard, and you make the level of fear abnormal
right.
in being able to generate the difference between right and wrong, right. then you have developed a guilty conscience, which is not helpful. But
repeat that again. I think that's important.
Conscience is something that society has to install in you, and it basically belongs to the parents and the church
to be able to teach.
Right. And what I mean by conscience is you want to install a healthy awareness of right and wrong.
Right.
Now, of course, you can have a long debate about what is right and what is wrong, but
right.
generally you have a set of cultural assumptions mm-hmm. about what's right and what's wrong. For example, killing is wrong.
Right.
Okay.
But what's guilty conscience? Go back and
A guilty conscience is whenever you take the fear that we all have, because in order to create a conscience, you have to identify that there are consequences. That's where the law comes in, right? Mm-hmm. There are consequences if you don't follow the social mores of right and wrong. Of your society that you mm-hmm. live in or your family mm-hmm. that you're in. So legally, there are consequences. That does install some fear in people because the consequences of the legal side is you basically lose something. It's something unpleasant that happens to you.
Okay.
So you become afraid of it. You don't want to do it. When you amplify the fear in a child to the degree where it becomes abnormal, then it becomes not useful because fear is actually essential and necessary to the human experience.
Right.
But when you amplify it, make it bigger and bigger and bigger so it's an abnormal amount of fear, then it starts to, and how do you do that? You use guilt and shame.
Yeah.
Right. You say you're not acceptable to me. I mean, tribal days, the worst thing was to get expelled from the tribe.
Right.
Right. So if you did something that was so awful, so out of the bounds, mm-hmm. you would get expelled from the tribe. But there was a big range of behaviors that were just bad, but weren't worthy of being expelled.
Right.
Now, what we oftentimes do is we have like a huge range of things that you should feel guilty and ashamed about rather than right. a very small one. And because when you really take guilt and shame to the hilt, you kind of remove, you're expelled from the tribe.
Right.
You're not good enough to belong.
Right. So the guilty conscious is one in which, like, you have self-generated some ideas about things that will get you kicked out of the tribe.
It's not necessarily self-generated. It may be generated by your family.
Then no, but it's internalized, right? It's something that someone tells you and you believe is true.
Yes. Someone tells it to you first and then you believe it and you internalize it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it can stay with you your whole life, and yeah. it usually does.
Yeah. It's Unless hard. You examine, really, what is the thing that someone's going to try to shame me about? Does it make sense?
Right.
If they tell me I should wear shoes in the gym, but alas, I don't feel guilty about not wearing shoes, so I will not. I will want you, just to somewhat please you.
So if you won't buy the ethic that I'm giving you, that it's right to wear shoes in the gym, then I'm going to have to find a more intense way to make you follow the rule.
Yeah.
And it could lead to just making you feel guilty, making you ashamed, or kicking you out and saying you can't come back unless you wear the shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a range of possibilities there.
So really, what is guilt and shame is what we were covering on this mm-hmm. segment, and really understanding the nature of it, because to make any changes in our behavior, the first thing is we have to be clear with what it is that we're trying to change. So next step, we're going to be looking at how we can be aware when we are actually guilting and shaming others. Mm-hmm. So Ragini Michael, an internationally recognized expert on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, how we can be aware when we're guilting and shaming others. If you want to know more about Ragini or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or facticity.com. That's factict.com.
Thank you.
TalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented VacuPractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their VacuPractors.
The VacuPractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust to not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my VacuPractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the VacuPractor a try.
VacuPractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The VacuPractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the VacuPractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit VacuPractor.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful! Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Hey, in case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Ragini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace. Today on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. So we're going to talk about how you become aware that you are perhaps guilt making your kids or friends or family feel guilty or shameful. Because it doesn't, you know, as we said before in the earlier segment, it really is not really good for their self-worth. Right. Mm-hmm. So, Ragini, what are some ways that we can actually be conscious when we're guilting our children? I know finger wagging is the most obvious.
You can't miss finger wagging.
Finger wagging is one that's obvious.
True. Well, the first thing you can start to be aware of, there are several clues that you can start listening to in your own language. Obviously, the finger wagging is a physical thing that you do. Another thing that we do is we say the proverbial, you should. Mm-hmm. You have to. You must. Why didn't you? Okay, but when if you used to start listening for should, how many times in a day a person uses should is fairly phenomenal. The first time you become aware of how often you use should, most people are really shocked.
Okay, let's just practice this. You should take out the garbage, honey. You must take out the garbage today because the garbage man is coming. You need to do that. Why didn't you take out the garbage? What were you thinking when you didn't take out the garbage? Is this what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. So the implication in every single one of those, not actually said, mm-hmm. but implied, and we all receive implications very, very well. Our unconscious process is designed to pick up those clues and cues that are not actually in the direct words mm-hmm. that you're speaking.
Yeah.
So the message there is, you didn't do the right thing.
Right. Take out the garbage.
And when you said, what's wrong with you? The
right.
question that with the implication is there is something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because
right.
if there weren't, you would have taken out the garbage when I asked you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guilting that goes on without actually saying you should feel bad about this.
Right.
But that actually is what the communication is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you just want the person to take out the garbage, you say, hun, please take out the garbage.
Well, that's so simple.
Well, you may have someone who you've asked 14 times and they've refused to do it. So normally what we do is we then switch to guilt and shame.
Right.
As a way to get the person to accomplish the task we want them to.
Yeah, it's a form of manipulation. It's a way to manipulate someone into doing what you want to do. Guilting
Absolutely.
And shaming, applying some standard of you should,
right.
who's the should that says, well, you and society, right?
Right.
That's like the hidden message behind it, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we're supposed to be clean. No trash in your house.
And if you don't do that, you're wrong. And that is where the self-esteem starts to get battered a little bit and where it eventually can hit down your actual sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
And that there's actually something wrong with you if you hear it enough. So saying you should is one thing. Blaming someone else for your bad feelings is another time when you can end up guilting and shaming someone. And the problem with that is instead of being, unless you're aware that you actually are responsible for your own feelings.
Right.
And nobody else actually makes you feel anything.
Right.
That's actually not the way it works. And this is
right.
a very, very, very subtle,
right.
powerful thing to become aware of.
Right.
And it changes lives almost more than anything else when you truly grasp that whatever you feel, you have to deal with and not somebody else. Now, somebody else, it's like flicking a light switch on. You know, somebody else
right.
can reach in the dining room and flip on the light switch, and now you have light to deal
right.
with.
I mean,
right?
So parlaying onto this example, it's mm-hmm. When you don't take out the garbage, it makes me feel crazy, like mm-hmm. we're untidy,
okay,
right?
So that's right. You're blaming me for what you feel.
Yeah.
This is a form, and you're saying you shouldn't do that. The hidden should is in that blame.
Right.
Okay? You shouldn't make me feel bad, so change your behavior.
Right.
So it's really important to understand that guilt and shame are a form of trying to manipulate people to do what you want so you don't have to feel bad.
Right. So you don't have to feel bad about asking them to do it.
You don't have to feel bad about asking them to
because
do it.
Because it's a societal.
Ask.
But I actually think taking out the garbage is the law someplace.
Probably in Germany.
In the Woman's Handbook, it's probably a law. What are other things that we do to make people feel guilty and shameful?
Well, you can tell someone just straight out, you're a bad person for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bad boy. You're a bad girl. You're a bad woman. You're a stupid man. I mean, things where you make judgments of people,
mm-hmm.
where you say you are bad, you are stupid. I mean, one phrase from a teacher, you're stupid, and that's
yeah.
it for somebody for their whole
that's
life.
So true, isn't it? That's
yes, it
a
is.
Sad thing.
And that is part of guilting, and you're guilting someone and shaming them. In that case, it's more shame when you say somebody directly, you are X.
Mm-hmm.
You are incompetent. You are bad. You mm-hmm. are unworthy. You are stupid. You're ugly. You're a mean person. You're mean hearted.
Can I feel so awful just hearing all these things?
Well, actually, the intention of saying all that is to try and get you to do what I want you to do.
I know, but you know, when you just even like saying
say
those,
you,
those
yeah.
slew of things made me
yeah.
just sink on the inside. So that really is, did any of you out there do that too? Where you just heard those things and you're like, you know, it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. And another way, one of the other ways that you can be aware that you are guilting and shaming someone else is when you compare someone to someone else.
Yeah.
Like with parents do it with, why aren't you like your big brother?
Right.
Okay. And why can't you make grades like your sister? Or why aren't you athletic and out there being social like your older brother? You know,
yeah.
things like
or
that.
Or even friends.
Or even friends.
Yeah, I notice how so-and-so does that. Why don't you do that too?
Right.
Right. Those comparisons are not really helpful because all of them get you to feel less than.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically it's doing things like, why should you? And if you think of anything else, think of that one. Should.
Yeah.
Blaming someone for your bad feelings. Right out telling someone something very negative about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one is comparing someone
yeah.
to someone else. Yeah. Those are ways in which you can become aware that you personally have just engaged in an effort to guilt or shame someone so that they will do what you want them to do.
And just to be clear, we're not trying to guilt and shame the audience to not guilt and shame.
I understand the hypocrisy of all of this.
The key thing here is to be aware and then be able to make choices and know that the choices have consequences. And the consequences of this type of language choices, I think, are to make someone feel less than. So the real issue is, how do we come up with different kind of language choices when we want people, we don't want to manipulate them, we don't want them to feel bad. So what do we say instead? So what I wanted to do is role model some things.
Okay.
One of the classic is the friend that never shows up on time.
Okay.
To your dinner party, to a meeting, whatever. So, okay. Ragini, I'm going to be the person who doesn't show up on time, even though I am very punctual. However, I will play this person. Not to guilt and shame you who are out there who are not done. Okay. All right. So I'm going to rush into Ragini's the picture. Here's the scenario. Ragini is sitting at a restaurant by herself. I'm 15 minutes late. I rush in. Oh, Ragini, I am so sorry. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
I appreciate that. I got you. Sorry. I'd be really nice if you'd be on time next time.
Okay. I'm really sorry. The traffic was so awful.
Yeah, I know the traffic can be bad. And yet, it'd be really nice if you'd be on time next time, if you'd make an effort, leave early or whatever.
Okay. Now the picture is a month later, we get together for dinner. Yet again, I'm now 10 minutes late.
Yep.
All right, you come over. Oh, Ragini, oh, God, I'm so sorry. So sorry. You know what happened? My son had this thing right before I left the door, and I had to tie his shoes, and he forgot his backpack. And anyways, I'm sorry I'm late.
I appreciate that. You know, things happen. Schedules get messed up. But the thing for me is when you're late like that, then it messes up my schedule, you know, because I rush to get here, and I have something else to do after dinner. So it's going to cut back our time together, but I just want you to know that it kind of messes up my schedule when you're late like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I appreciate that. But next time, I hope you'll be on time.
Okay, okay. So now, since it may be kind of hard for this person to change their behavior, we've got the third scenario. Because people, doesn't this really happen in real life? You know, I mean, this happens several times. I had a friend who did this to me probably 30 times until I just got explosively angry. But let's not try to do that. Let's try to do what happens the third time. Again, another scenario. We decide to go for coffee. I'm running late. Oops. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Let's do the, let's actually wrap this up. But let's do the third scenario, and then let's wrap up quickly to just say what we were trying to do is, one, make you aware of when you are actually making others feel guilt and shame. And then what we were doing is just doing a quick scenario so you actually have some words and behaviors that you can do when you're encountering someone who's breached your boundary. So when we get back, we'll actually hear Ragini's three strikes, you're out scenario. We'll be right back.
You dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire.
For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, and attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. Adil bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with Adil is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with Adil.
Hey, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Rodney Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace. Now, before the break, we were talking about what to do with that person who's chronically late, and Rodney gave some good language choices to use, maybe the first time and the second time. And then we were getting some messages from from our sound engineer, Chris, a station owner, who said, Rogany is tough. And then he then explained that he's feeling a little bit guilty and shameful. As a result, he kind of reminded him of a school teacher kind of reprimanding him for being late from class. And Rogany, you had some comments on that.
Well, my comment was that certainly wasn't in the language and the intention behind it, because I wasn't comparing, and I wasn't saying you should, and I wasn't blaming him for my bad feelings, and I wasn't saying you're rotten because you're late.
Right.
Okay, so I wasn't doing any of those four things that we talked about in the first segment.
Right.
I was offering another way to simply ask for what you need
right.
in order for the meeting to go well.
Right.
However, the thing you have to remember, even when you take charge of your own language, is that the other person will still be probably running their own internal guilt and shame. So all you're doing by changing your language is taking off the external layer of it. But until we as individuals know how to deal with our own internally generated guilt and shame, you're going to feel it no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and so I think the important thing to recognize is that, you know, this may still happen. People may feel, you know, less than as a result of you saying what you want and need. But I think it's where, on a spiritual level, it's your intention is not to do that, right? Whereas before, the intention is sort of unconsciously to kind of harm, you know what I mean?
It is. It's not to harm the other person so much as it is to get them to change so you don't have to feel bad. And fundamentally,
that's a good
mental health and spiritual health have to do with taking responsibility for your own emotional and mental and psychological
right.
and spiritual state.
Right.
right?
So in that way, so if I actually kind of manipulate you, then I don't have to feel bad.
Right. If right. you're successful. Which many people are.
Right.
Right. Until you know how to protect yourself from guilt and shame that other people are laying on you, it works. That's why it's still around. It's a very
right.
effective tool,
right.
guilt and shame, at
right.
helping people get what they want.
But recognize spiritually that it's because your needs aren't being met, and for you, instead of actually to kind of guilt and shame someone, to actually say what you want. I mean, it's a very different thing energetically.
It's a very different thing. Energetically, it's different. The intention is different. It's good psychology and good emotional balance to be able to take care of your own emotional needs. Spiritually, what it actually does is develop compassion so that you don't really want to guilt and shame people anymore.
Yeah. Right?
And you're aware when you want to, and you decide you make a choice out of compassion not to follow that avenue, which for all of us is a pretty well-worn neural pathway in the brain.
Well, so then maybe you don't say anything, because this is another thing we do, that we stuff it down. The person's late for the third time, and they just, you say, okay.
Well, can we do the third scenario?
Let's do the third scenario. Okay, so the scenario that we painted in the previous segment was what you say when the person's late the first time, and then they're late the second time, and we're just giving the three strikes, you're out. But, you know, this is completely up to you how many times you want to repeat the message. It could be 30 right. times, right?
Could be your whole lifetime.
Could be a whole lifetime. You tell your spouse, you're late again. Okay, so let's say that this is the third time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're supposed to be at a meeting, and I'm late yet again. And this time I'm 10 minutes late. So I'm a little bit better. I'm getting better. I used to be 15 minutes late. I'm now 10 minutes late. Oh, Robin, I'm so, so sorry I'm late. The traffic was just awful.
You know what, CJ, I really appreciate that. But here's the thing, is that I really don't want to have to be waiting for you anymore, because waiting is, for me, a very difficult place to be. And when you're late, it really triggers that. And then I have to deal with all of that in a way that makes my, our connection afterwards really difficult. So what I'd like to do is just not do that anymore. So I don't like to wait. And I appreciate that it's really hard for you to be on time. And I just don't want to have to go through that anymore. So I guess we're just not going to meet. You know, I mean, I really appreciate it.
So you just don't want to meet anymore?
It's not about you. It's that I don't like waiting. And until I get that cleaned up in myself, it's really not in my best interest. Because in all honesty, I'm really not capable right now of letting you be who you are, which is somebody who's late. Mm. So I'm sorry. But that's really, I'm trying to take care of myself here. Until I learn this, I really can't let you be who you are. Mm. And that's not a very loving way to have a connection.
Do you still want to have coffee?
Okay, that's like an extreme example of me taking responsibility for what bothers me about you being late.
Right.
Which has not been communicated in any way. Now, if I were going to blame you, I might say, I hate waiting. How dare you keep me waiting? You're such a bad person for doing that. See, I could have done that earlier.
Right.
But I never even mentioned waiting, because I was trying to be like, it's my thing. It's not yours.
Right.
Right.
What's a compassionate response then? So let's say that you're a compassionate person and spiritually developed. What would be another response aside from even saying anything? And not stuffing it down. We're not talking about stuffing it down and going, like, I'm just going to be really resentful and, you know, get peevish now during this whole meeting. What's a compassionate way of dealing with it?
A compassionate way of dealing with
this person being late all the time.
I think the most compassionate way to deal with it is to be honest about what it's doing for me. I have to deal with myself. When you're late, I have to deal with me, and it happens to be a place that's a big button pusher for me. Mm. So until I can do it well, right, I can't let you be who you are, and I end up feeling really unhappy with
that. Isn't that interesting? Because I thought about compassion about the other person, that you're thinking about being compassionate to yourself.
And the other person, I can't let you be who you are. Right. I mean, what else is relationship really about?
But yeah, that's true.
Learning how to let everybody be who they are, because in fact, you can't be anybody else but who you are.
Yeah. Good
and point. If you're going to change and become a person who's on time, you're going to do that. Nothing I'm going to say is going to make that different.
Yeah.
Other than, I can tell you I don't like it, but that's not going to make you change.
You're going to be ending coffees all over.
Actually, let me just add, now I bring a book. And I've dealt with my waiting button. It no longer gets pushed, and I'm happy, so you can be late with me. It's okay.
Okay. You've even had, that's why I'm saying, even a more compassionate response is like, I accept who you are. I know you're going to be late.
Right.
Because it presses my buttons, I'm going to read so that I can actually honor what I need, which is to read and, you know, be by myself or whatever, and then also honor who you're going to be, which is a late person.
I have numerous friends that I've had for many years that I've had to stop seeing for long periods of time simply because I got tired of guilting and shaming them for being who they were.
Yeah.
And I didn't like me when I did it.
Mm.
So I just said, I need time. I can't let you be who you are. When they'd call, I'd say, you know, I'd love to see you, but I can't let you be who you are today.
Yeah.
So if we can do it later. And then now eventually I can.
Look, Chris is sending us frowny faces.
He doesn't like me. Chris doesn't. He's our C's, the station manager. He's not happy with what I'm saying.
I actually, though, I understand it. I do understand it, because in a spiritual level, it is being the most compassionate to yourself and the other person, because you aren't accepting them,
the
right?
The thing that people think about being spiritual is it's like you're suddenly this nice person who lets everybody be who
Stomp
they are.
Stomp all over you, right? That's not what spiritual is, because
no,
I'm never going to be spiritual then.
If I can really love you the way you are, that's like the highest compliment I can pay to you. It's the deepest respect and the highest form of love, in my opinion, is to let you be who you are. To do that is going to require me to do quite a bit of changing, because I have a lot of values and things that you're not fulfilling. So what have I been taught to do? I've been taught to blame, compare, manipulate, tell you that you're not okay because you're doing that, and try everything within my power to get you to be different.
Yeah.
Now, when you are both working to become, you know, a more conscious, aware person, and you're willing to take responsibility for what you feel, you can talk through this stuff.
Yeah,
and you don't
true.
Have to have these kinds of conversations that I'm speaking here.
Yeah, and I think actually even if you, and that, if it were really a natural dialogue, I'd be like, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yes.
What can I do different? I mean, that would really, I think if you had that conversation with me, really, and we had the time, there would be a helpful conversation that would ensue afterwards,
this is,
I think.
This allows a relationship to grow over time. That's what you're doing. You're letting it grow over time when you can have this kind of honest dialogue.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned to you the book Fierce Conversations. It's a way to help you understand how to talk about tough things.
Yeah.
And these are one of those things that's little, but if you don't attend to it, it becomes a big thing, and then it's a tough conversation.
Yeah. So really what we were talking about was, we talked in the first segment on, you know, how do you define guilt and shame? We then talked about how are you aware when you're guilting and shaming each other? And now this was just about giving you an example, at the very end, an example of how to actually have language choices that are compassionate, loving, and then to yourself and the other person. So these are all parts of really shifting your behavior to a different way. And also, I think one of the things that I got mostly out of that segment is the spiritual concept, because I'm guilty. Guilty of thinking because you're spiritual, you're supposed to be nice and above it all. But that's not necessarily true.
That's not practical spirituality.
Yeah.
It's not practical if you think that's spirituality in the world, because it doesn't work. Practical spirituality is really being able to let people be who they are. It doesn't mean you let them walk all over you. You still have to set your boundaries and, you know, take care of yourself within that context. So it's paradoxical, which is, of course, my thing, right? That's what I'm most known for, is how to help people live with paradox, which is one of these things we're talking about. How do you be yourself and let somebody else be yourself?
Yeah.
That's the question.
So great information, Ragini. Ragini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace, on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, wrapping it all together.
TalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractors.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust to not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Welcome back. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Ragini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace on Fired Up with CJ. So we were just talking about how you become aware when you are feeling guilt and shame, and we gave a scenario of some language choices that you can make to compassionately state your point of view, but then also also talk to the other person about what's going on. And, you know, Chris, we've been actually having an interesting conversation with Chris, our station manager, while we've been doing this. And, it's interesting, the response. I want to hear it was interesting hearing his response, which was a lot of like guilt and shame associated with this, which is not the intention of the show. So, if there are other folks out there, I'd love to hear what your reaction to the show is. Call us 1-800-930-2819. Again, that's 1-800-930-2819.
I think one of the things that when you talk about guilt and shame, you're going to be accessing it in order to understand what we're talking about. So if that's happening to you as a listener, sorry.
Right.
But it is a natural thing that occurs.
Right.
Because in order to understand what we're talking about, your system has to go and find it. You know, that's guilt, that's shame. Okay. The thing that I want to add that helps people deal with that is from a spiritual perspective, and I'm going to distinguish that from religious, but from a spiritual perspective, you are absolutely fine the way you are. You're designed exactly to be where you are right at this moment in time. Now, whether you believe that or not, it is, generally speaking, the thrust of most spiritual paths is that whatever is optimal. Life is basically an academy for learning, if you wish. That's one way of looking at it. But from a spiritual perspective, everything is made of the same kind of stuff, divine stuff, and divine stuff isn't imperfect.
Right.
Okay? But human beings are perfectly imperfect. And that's a very helpful way to understand it, that just because you feel guilt and or shame doesn't mean what you think it means, which is that you're intrinsically defective or there's something wrong with you.
Right.
From a spiritual perspective, you can still feel guilt and shame and be absolutely perfect and have a divine dimension that is actually capable of shining through the guilt and the shame, depending on how you relate to it. Okay, but the spiritual dimension is there if you look at this through the lens of spiritual thinking.
You know what happened to me, Ragini? If you were to do a little thought bubble in front of my head, it went from a frowny face to a smiley face.
Yay!
Well, no, here's the thing. I think that it's true that I think that what you point out is really interesting, that if in fact you're feeling guilt and shame even by listening to the show, that that's totally normal because you, in some ways, to totally appreciate what we're talking about, you have to access that within yourself.
Well, you do, because one of the reasons why you want to stop guilting and shaming other people is because you become aware of how really devastating it is.
Yeah.
And you can't really know that till you feel it in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's part of the motivation to rise above the urge to make another person be different so I can feel better.
Mm.
Okay. Is understanding that you're harming that person and thus yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, you don't let the person walk all over you.
Right.
Because you have to also take care of
right.
yourself. And that's why the world that I'm in, which is trying to help people navigate these dilemmas, you know, who do I take care of in this situation? The person who's late or me?
Right.
Right. And how do I do that without, you know, and it's a constantly shifting ground. Mm-hmm. It's like being in an earthquake. You
yeah.
know, you never can't, you have trouble finding your footing in it, how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's actually what my work is mostly about, is helping people learn how to find your footing in just these kinds of difficult dilemmas and scenarios that happen every day.
Yay. Another smiley face. A bubble. Beep. Smiley face. Okay, so let's wrap it up in terms of what we covered today. So really, it's we went through understanding and defining what guilt and shame is. And my favorite quote is the one that I said earlier, which is, we feel guilty for what we do. So there are external people who impose on us standards about what we should and should not do.
Correct.
And then we feel shameful for who we are. And that's really the most damaging aspect, when
yes.
we feel less than, that kind of sinking feeling that you may have been feeling during the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when we inadvertently actually guilt and shame other people.
Yeah.
So the next step was really about how we're aware when we're guilting and shaming other people. And I really like some of the examples that you gave, whether it be the language choices. And there's good information on the web. They're called Gremlins by Richard Carlin. I think he wrote mm-hmm. this idea of gremlins. And the words, whenever you find yourself saying should, must, have to, need to, that's one example. Whenever you're comparing yourself to another person, that's another example. When you're
right.
wagging your fingers, an example of when you're guilting and shaming someone.
Blaming someone.
I feel bad. You know, you made me feel bad when you did that, right? No, mm-hmm. you made yourself feel bad when you mm-hmm. did that. And it, when you hear yourself saying that, that's kind of a good time to explore what is it
right.
about that. So the second segment was really about stepping people around, getting more clear with when we actually are making others feel guilt and shame so that we can stop that. And the third was just talking about role modeling, what you can say so that you can be compassionate and loving to yourself and the other person. So that we, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's mostly
yeah.
what we covered. I think the other piece that we aren't going to cover today, and we might do in another show you suggested, is how to respond when you're being guilted
yeah.
and shamed by someone else.
Right.
And what to do in those kinds of situations.
Right.
Which we just don't have time to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I mean, this program was so, it was something that I kind of went into not knowing what would evolve, but as I was writing out the script for the show, there's so much guilt and shame in our society. I mean, it is, and some of it good, some of it bad, right?
Right, and I know many people, especially in the spiritual world, have some parts of the spiritual world, other parts say that, you know, shame, that's another thing, I don't want to go there, let me not go there. But generally speaking, a lot of people want to get rid of guilt and shame. I think the easier thing to do is to understand it, because it's not, I don't think we're going to get rid of it anytime soon as
yeah.
a culture. So, but there are ways to help you become conscious of it and to work with it, which is what we would talk about in another time. Very
yeah.
specific ways.
Yeah. So this show was really about how you don't harm yourself or others.
Mm-hmm.
And really the next segment that I wanted to talk to Ragini about is what happens when people are trying to shame and guilt you. What is an appropriate response so that you don't have to feel less than or inadequate or shameful, but you can just be who you are and proud of who you are and stand in that power. So
mm-hmm.
that will be our next segment, what you do when people are trying to inflict guilt and shame on you. I'd love to hear comments. So go on the web, www.fireitupwithcj.com. And tell us what you think. I'd really like to hear your thoughts on the program, what kind of scenarios that you would like to have us handle the next time, because similarly, and then each program will give you some language choices to make when things happen to you. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on what would be helpful for you to tackle this very difficult issue. So, Ragini, thank you so
You're
much.
Very welcome.
I think this is really an interesting program. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, it is the month of May, and in honor of spring, we'll have 4 shows on food and gardening. And next Thursday, Amy Pennington, who will teach us how to build a great garden, especially for those of you who don't have a lot of space, so how to do an apartment garden, and stocking your pantry. So have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.